hey, where are you going?
I don't know. I need to reevaluate my life.
Don't we all?
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for another episode of Gay Talk on the heels of what was a fantastic booze cruise that we had.
Broken heels.
Broken heels.
Yes. One broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tom, your host of the show, and I'm here with my co-host, or, well, not my friends.
Sans one.
Yeah, we're missing one. One went down for the count. We left him in the Hudson. He's floating somewhere.
Pushed her.
But ladies and gentlemen, the one to my right.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And the one to my left.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And we're jumping into the dish. Minus one. Paul Anthony couldn't make the show today. She is, like I said before, we left her floating in the Hudson River.
Face down.
She's down, dead, done. We had a very, very, very busy weekend.
Oh,
a lot happened. Let's see. We started off. What did we do Friday?
Well, I worked on Friday. Mm-hmm. And you.
I didn't come out.
You did not come out.
No.
I stayed home, actually. I stayed home. I was a good boy.
I don't think I saw you out either, Chris.
No. My boyfriend and I went. I'm going to name drop here. Definitely Elm City Social in New Haven. Highly recommend it. Great drinks, great food. We went there for dinner, and then we went to York Street, had a couple drinks. Oh, no, we went to the study after, had another nice cocktail. We were doing fancy stuff, and then we were like, let's change the fanciness and go to fucking York Street.
Wow.
Yeah. Had a couple drinks, and I'm like, let's just go home and, you know, do it and go to bed.
That's awesome.
It was a great night.
Wait, hold on. Do what?
Yes, do what?
Mm-hmm.
well, Mr. Christopher.
But to be honest, though, I mean, like, we finished out my birthday week pretty strong.
Yeah, it was. The booze cruise was amazing.
Oh, my
God. If you guys were wondering, what we ended up doing was going to Wigstock, which is a cruise that's done with Lady Bunny, and she has all of her friends come. They do literally. It was like a 2.5 hour drag tour performance.
She had such a big wig that she literally had somebody standing behind her holding it up.
It was amazing.
Literally. And then when she was running up the stairs to go to her dressing room to change, she had an army of people behind her walking her wig.
And it's that big girl moves.
Oh, she
when
does.
She's running around the ship, she's like, let's go.
Oh my in God, her heels. She can fucking move. Running. Mm. And I was like, you better work, girl. I'm impressed. And she puts on a good show. We had a great time.
Got a couple photos with her.
Yes,
Tommy got
did.
A nice selfie. Those will be on our website.
We did.
Now they
we
have to be because I said it.
Yeah. We're definitely going to put those on the post.
Thanks,
no,
Chris.
But
now
we
Tommy
did.
Tommy has to do work.
More work.
More work for me. Jesus. So, you know, it was such a great time. And we drank a lot, we had a nice little bartender who was giving us shots.
What was his name? Gavin.
I love the fact that he was so sexy, and I think he was straight.
No, wait, Gavin. Gavin was at Boxers,
right? His name was doesn't matter.
We don't remember his name,
but we you know he was definitely straight. He told us he was so straight.
But he was so personable, so fun, and he just looked at us. He was like, "You guys look like you're a fun group here. Let's do a shot."
Yeah,
and like yes,
off the bat, we didn't even like tip
twice.
Him yet.
Twice he gave us a round of shots
yes,
for free.
He looked at us and he said, "What was it? 10 o'clock? We're doing shots." It was like five minutes. We're doing
all
shots.
Dancing on the dance floor.
And he
just
throws ice.
He takes a handful of ice and chucks it at us because it was the one moment he had. He had all shots poured, ready to go.
I was like, "Holy shit!" I'm like, "It's raining ice, dude." He's like, "Come on." Shots and I'm like, oh, okay.
Never seen this dude before. It was fucking awesome. He's a great
amazing.
Guy.
Yeah,
he
was a great guy.
He was a great
when
great
he's pouring, course. He was pouring the round of drinks for us and he stopped and he started pouring again. And he looked at me. He's like, you guys look like you like to have fun. So we just added more to it.
We looked at him and was like, we're all bartenders.
Yeah.
Pour it in, baby. We got a show and that's what we do. We drink and, you know, we love to drink. We have a cocktail during every episode. And speaking of our episode cocktail, because we're a little bit, well, a lot hungover, we decided to go with some. Oh, I can't. I'm struggling.
Yeah,
I'm
struggling. We, the one pick me up cocktail,
boys?
We're having. You got to go with a Bloody Mary every
yes,
now
we
and
did.
Then.
We
so
did.
Nice and spicy, too. You got to have that extra horseradish. So we take our nice classic Absolut vodka, do that with a little tomato juice, a little Tabasco, lots of horseradish, some black pepper, a little lemon juice, shake that up, put a celery stalk in it. I like to do shrimp, but Tommy can't have
shrimp.
It. I know you put, you. I recommend that you put
a jumbo shrimp.
Yep, right in there. And but this here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Yes, queen.
We're switching roles here.
We are, by the way. This is weird. You put the shrimp in it. You finish the drink. You don't eat it. You have a second one. And then you eat the shrimp after the second one. And that soaks it all up. And it's...
That's all. It sounds delicious.
It's so good.
I
mean,
listen, I used to eat shellfish when I was younger and I could eat it. And then after my 13th birthday, I developed an allergic reaction to eating shellfish. And so I can't. So I remember what it tastes like. And I remember saying, oh my God, this is amazing. But I can't
have it. It's my favorite food. I could live off shellfish.
I could live off fish.
I could love seafood's my favorite. If I ever develop an allergy, my life is over.
I'm pulling a trick.
My life is over.
Stop yelling at me.
So we were all shopping for shirts the other day because we got new gay talk tanks. Mm-hmm. And I tried on a small, and I was like, I can't, if I wear this, I can't eat for the entire week. Chris goes, just have salads with fish.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Just have salads with fish on it. You're like, good to go.
And I'm in the background screaming, oh, no, just stick your finger in your mouth and throw up. You'll be fine.
There you go, too. Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, scallops, vomiting, whatever.
I'm kidding, people, listeners. We do not endorse bulimia or
even
any type
this one.
Of eating disorder. What about me?
Ooh. Yesterday, I was like, guys, I think Tommy's bulimic.
Oh, well, we had just gotten out of the restaurant, and of course, we had a packed bag, and we were in the city, so we had driven in, and all of our packed bags were still in the car, so we just stopped at a rest stop, and we were eating food, and I was like, oh my God, I got like this food taste, and so I whipped out my big bottle of Listerine, and I'm like, right in the parking lot, I just spit it out, and Nick is looking at me like, all right, don't tell me you're throwing shit up, girl, you just...
I missed this.
And I was like, no, girl, that's my Listerine. She was like, oh. I was like, yeah, you know, I got to keep the mouth fresh.
I did not see this part.
When I go suck that cock, girl, it's got to be clean.
You didn't remember me yelling, guys, I think Tommy's bulimic.
I don't remember that at all.
It's horrible. It was really bad. It was just like.
The struggle has always been real with us.
The struggle is real. There, it's come. It's coming. Yeah.
You should have saw the before and after pic that Nick, Trish just showed us.
We're going to throw Nick under the bus. That's why the struggle bus is coming. So Nick got so messed up yesterday.
We all did.
She wanted to fight everybody.
Okay, no.
She did.
You too. I can't.
But I love her. I love her dearly. We looked at each other this morning. We apologized to each other.
Me and Tommy had our first fight.
We did. And then we went and got coffee and got over it. And we had the best fucking bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches on 8th Avenue.
It was the cheese.
Sorry, I know. He can't eat cheese, guys. For those of you who love Chris, he cannot eat cheese. Speaking about dairy. Love Chris, didn't you have an email?
Yes.
That came in?
You know, it's we love hearing from, you know, all of our listeners. And I just wanted to put out there, you know, even music is this, obviously we're jumping off of where we were, but always remember that music, if you love it, it does not have to be your career. Like, you don't have to monetize your music. Sometimes your passion is what you do on the side, and you always, at the end of the day, always remember to integrate music into your life. And I find that I can do it because whenever I'm upset or I'm happy, no matter what mood I'm in, I can just pick up my instrument, or like you do, you sing, or for our listeners, you can maybe sit at the piano. And whatever you're feeling, you can
Everybody has a different way of manifesting their talent.
Exactly. And I used to always want to be a conductor. My dream job was to be a composer conductor. But then I realized that I have the gift to teach. So I'm going to be pursuing becoming a music educator.
And there's so many that are needed right now.
There are so many. And if you ever find yourself with a music educator that is belittling you and just holding you back or ridiculing you, no, there are so many good teachers out there. Do not feel that this is the one you need to stick with. You pursue your passion and your love, and don't you ever let anyone hold you back.
Well, just to give you a little bit of background, our listener who wrote in and wrote Chris an email was specifically asking about, you know, his music and how is it that he incorporates his love for music into his daily activity now, because obviously when we go to school, let's say we want to major in music, etc., and that's what we want to do, but that's not how life ends up working out for us. Mm-hmm. How do we incorporate music into our everyday life? And that's, I think, what Chris is trying to touch on. That, you know, you could be a professional in a corporate America and still be able to pick up your instrument and have just as much passion for the instrument and for the music that you make or that you perform as if that was your sole job every day. So it doesn't matter whether you're a professional or a professional an active professional or an inactive professional?
I mean, there was, when I was in Colorado at the wedding, there was a, my girlfriend, her coworkers, they're all doctors, but they have a band and they're great. And they're doctors, but this is their side thing. They love to play music.
And they came and
they played the wedding and they were literally on point. Like, you can keep things in your life and still move on and do other things. I mean, I went to school for theater. I thought I was going to be a freaking musical theater actor. And next thing I know, I found my passion in theater management, but I'm still in my art. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I get to experience it every day.
My surgeon was, one of my surgeons that I had was an amazing clarinetist. He plays with the New Haven Symphony.
Yeah, and you you last night you threatened to shove your oboe up my butt.
No, you asked for it. But I just to end off that shout out, I'll just say that some of my favorite composers, and if you're not listening to them, I highly recommend it. I'll throw out Antonin Dvorak, Igor Stravinsky. If you don't know him, get to know him because he is a lot of fun. So Dvorak, Stravinsky, Gustav Holst, of course, Johann Sebastian Bach, Mozart, the classics. But yeah, definitely check out. Oh, and, Rayfon Williams. There's a couple for you. And that sounds thank you so much for shouting out. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you so much for, you know, writing into the show. Like I said before, we appreciate every listener that takes the time to send us a little note and let us know what they think or what they're feeling. You know, we love reading your emails and stuff. And like I said before, in the previous episode, we didn't know that we were getting all these messages because it was hidden somewhere in our website. But we now have them and we plan to address them.
Many shout outs for all
of listeners. Correct. Because this was one of the first one of the most recent, so we're going to work our way back. And
we got a far
Trish and I have a lot of emails to go through and to, you know, get answers. So yes, thank you.
We appreciate it. And keep playing.
Please do not stop your art. You know, do what you have to do to ensure that, you know, what you do, what you love, and don't let anyone ever tell you that you are less than what you know you are.
Ever.
Plain and simple. Nice. And to that teacher, shame on you.
Exactly.
Shame.
How about we do this? We'll make that teacher our honorary asshole.
Yes, there you go.
So back to our little weekend with Trish over here that's throwing her under the bus. She was fighting with everybody.
In the beginning of the day, I was.
Yeah. Everybody's always yelling at her. Everybody's always doing something. But you know what? Like I said before, we made up and we went. We had bacon, egg, and cheeses and coffee and all that good stuff.
I may have teared up and I hugged Tommy.
I did. Me too. I know.
That coffee was so needed. Oh my God. When you walked in with it, I was like still dead. I'm like, cafe.
The hand just went up.
That's really what it was. Eyes were closed. I was like drooling. I'm just like,
so just to give you an idea as to why we woke up. And by the way, not only did we wake up half dead, we got reinvigorated with this coffee. Oh my God, my enunciation is on point today.
I know, it's really good, actually. I'm very...
Yes. I need to get drunk more often.
Jawohl.
So,
no, you don't.
After this fucking weekend, not even weekend, it was a night.
Oh, wait, hold on. Because all I wanted to say earlier, when that listener emailed us, I was like, don't listen to us. Don't be like us. Yeah, don't be like us.
You know what, honey? Go to school. You don't want to be like us.
It's a struggle to be who we are. So you know. So yeah, when we got up today and we were like, oh my God, we were dying, and coffee was life, and we had those bacon, egg, and cheeses. We went and picked up the car that down over at the lot that we had it parked on 8th Avenue. Wait, was it East? No, West
52nd and West.
West 52nd and 8th is what it was, girl.
Ooh, I just threw my phone.
Yeah.
She's yelling at me.
There it goes again.
Yeah. And so we ended up picking our car, and then we had to drive back to Connecticut, and then we're sitting here now around in the studio, and we're recording the show, and we're like, oh my God, we're so tired. But we love doing this so much that, you know, that we had to do it. And unfortunately, Paul wasn't feeling well. He's like, I can't, girl. I can't.
This is like a pick-me-up for me. Like, I was ready. I was already dead. Like, I woke up dead, and then I died some more on the drive home. Once we were like, boom, 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 I'm like, all right, I got this. We can do this.
Yeah, we get going. And, you know, it's funny.
When the episode's over, I'm going to be dead. I'm going to die on the grill.
Paul just looked at us like, I can't. And she's like, dude, you can just see her riding away her little canoe. I bought her a canoe so she can row her ass down all the way down the Hudson River to meet us at the booze cruise.
But what did I say about the whole canoe?
What about it?
She's not going to row.
Oh, she's just basically going to pull her pants down,
put her ass,
in the water, and fart and just go. And she'll just get propelled all the way down. It was freaking amazing. But we really did have
making
time.
There quicker than we did.
We did a lot of jumping around yesterday. Yeah, we did a lot of Ubering. We did a lot of taxi cabs. So we did the booze cruise. We ended up at, what was that? We went to Flaming Saddles.
I love that place.
We went to Flaming Saddles. What was the first one we went to right after we got off the boat?
Rock Bar. We were at Rock Bar, which is right on Christopher Street. And we had a couple of cocktails there.
One.
And then, damn, throw me under the bus. Wait, it's coming. There goes Tom.
I ordered Ruby Red and Red Bull when we went to the Rock Bar. And I watched him pour it. And I was like,
that's just
I didn't
Ruby
order
Red.
A Ruby Red and a splash of Red Bull. I ordered a Ruby Red and Red Bull. And he's like, girl, bye.
But we needed that after the fucking $50 for four drinks on the boat.
It is expensive, but I'll tell you this. Them drag queens put on a fantastic show.
Oh, they did.
And we danced. And we danced to 70s and 80s. And there was like different types of music on all levels. And there was all types. The ship was actually pretty big.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And for the first time since a little child, Chris actually got to see something. I'll let you talk about that.
It was, I was so happy to actually fucking finally see her. I've been wanting to see Lady Liberty my entire life. I was supposed to go in fifth grade to see Statue of Liberty in Ellis Island, but unfortunately we had the tragedy of 9/11 a couple weeks before, so the trip was canceled. And as we took around the bend, I just saw her out in the distance, and she's so beautiful. Oh, yes, she was beautiful. It was so great to like drive right by or boat. Right by her, and
she literally was magnificent.
It's beautiful. It's just so uplifting, and it's like, okay, this is America. Like, thanks, France. We appreciate it.
I think I heard you saying, like,
I did.
Thank you, France.
I did. We were going by. I'm like, oh, she's so beautiful.
I can't
thanks,
believe
France.
We outsourced Lady Liberty. Like, come on, America.
Well, that was a gift.
It was a gift from France.
Oh,
yeah.
France has one. In France.
And there's one in the garden in London.
And
there
they
are
made
three
a
in
replica.
The world, or four. Three.
And they literally gave one as a gift to the U.S.
They're smaller, though. Ours is by far the absolute largest. What's the garden in Buckingham Palace or that area? The English, it's one of the gardens in London.
Victoria Gardens?
I don't know. There's don't one know. In London, too. But ours is the biggest, gardens? And it was a gift.
It's named after some royal.
We kept passing things on the boat, and Paul would be like, that's Taj Mahal. I'm like, bro, you're in the wrong country.
Continent. Pretty much, you know. No, but we got a chance to see Tower One.
I don't know what that is.
From the beginning, you know, like, we got to see, like, all of the Manhattan buildings, the iconic buildings, like the Empire State Building. Because
the
what
New
it
World
did
Church,
was...
The Freedom Tower?
Oh, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous tower. And because what it does is it actually starts at Pier 40, and it works its way down, and it comes around the bend over to the East River. It takes a U-turn, and then it goes through the Statue of Liberty, literally right in front of it, and then comes back up the Hudson and docks. But usually you're out there for about 3 hours. So it's 3 hours of boozing and cruising, and we had a great time.
It was awesome. We were dancing. We were drinking.
Yeah,
we'll be back. And we'd love to have some of our listeners join us next time.
Absolutely. I mean, we sent out the invite on Facebook that if anybody wanted to attend, you could absolutely do so. We encourage that you do. It was such an amazing time.
And we were rocking our new shirts.
By the time we got off the boat, everybody was calling us the Fisting Family.
Well, there's a story by that too, because, you know, we also wanted to show up and like for the three that work at Partners Cafe, we wore our partner shirts because it has a
It's a rainbow fist.
It's a rainbow fest, which signifies strength in the community, in light of what had happened with
Orlando Strong
and all that good stuff. And I thought that was very important. And of course, you know, we're not going to make Chris wear one because Chris works for the other bar. But, you know, Chris was a sport, and, you know, yeah, we're going to wear our shirts, but let's wear these first and get them out of the way and do all that good stuff and do the promotion that, you know, we wanted to. And it was great. We had a really good time. People were reacting like, what does the fist stand for?
Well, the first one, when we first got to Pier 40, before we even got on the boat, the guy's like, is that like a Black Panther thing? I turned around, I'm like, nope. Like, right away.
No,
it started.
It's a gay toucan.
But it's funny that the guys working the pier, first thing they go to is that a Black Panther thing? The second we get on the gay cruise, is that a fisting thing?
the literally, like, how they identify something in the gay world is completely different than in the straight world. It amuses me. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cute. And you know, hey.
You know what
it
made happens. Me a little sad? I never got to put on the mermaid dress.
Oh, can you explain that, please?
Yeah, so I was walking in, and this woman was standing there, and she had this awesome mermaid dress.
It was
on.
Sick.
And I was like, oh my God, can I totally wear that later? And she was like, yeah, I actually have a change of clothes. We can totally switch. And then she goes,
oh, yeah.
And it's expandable. And I'm like, excuse me? What does that mean? It expandable. Means, she's like, well, I'm a small lady. I'm like, what are you trying to say? She's like, you have a nice body? I'm like, that's right. She was yelling at me too.
Yep, she just told you.
But
you
I never got to wear the mermaid dress.
You need a little bit more, girl. A little bit more. A little bit more fabric. But anyway, if you guys ever want to even think about, I'm sorry, Trish. I had
that was fucking funny. That was so funny.
So listen.
Funny.
So if you guys ever want to take that cruise, they still have a couple more that they actually do even throughout in the fall. You can visit www.gaytalk.com. Oh my God. I'm about to plug our website.
Plug us.
It's www.gaypartycruise.com. You can visit that website. You can see all of the cruises and all the events that they have, because every single cruise that they launch out of this pier has a theme. And so this time it was Wigstock with Lady Bunny. And then the week after that, it'll be something else. So if you guys want to visit that website, you can, to get more information on what's coming next about the cruises. Cake. I love it. I'm like, shit.
And hopefully, and look at Out Magazine. Hopefully, we made their page.
Hopefully, yes. There was a lot of photographers that were running around. And so, you know, we've got our pictures taken, and that was fun. But the next cruise that's coming out is going to be actually on August 28th. And that's called...
Which is the day before our live episode.
That's right. We're doing a live episode at 168 York Street Cafe. We invite all of our listeners...
In New Haven.
In New Haven, Connecticut, to attend. There's information on our website. You can visit www.gaytalk20.com to get that information and come see us while we do our first episode. We're going to have a $100 cash giveaway, and we're also going to be raffling off 2 tickets to
Escapade,
a Unusual Experience, which is a show that's created by one of our good friends, Lewis, and he's very talented, and he's done it. He did it last year.
Yeah. It was successful last year. Very, very successful.
Did either of you go see the show?
I did not, but I plan to go this year.
I went.
How?
It was great. There are some, so it's, well, the one that I saw, there were a bunch of different acts, and I think they were all themed together, but there were some amazing performers.
Like, that's awesome.
And there were some drag queens, there were some dancers, there were some acrobatic acts, but it was like really...
Well, Lewis himself, our friend Lewis, who is... spearheads the show. He is a dancer himself in his own right. Very, very good dancer. So we're very appreciative that he will donate 2 tickets and you guys can get to experience that.
Trish. The eyes on you right now.
What about her?
She looks like she's hurting.
Oh. She woke up this morning. All right, 80s kids.
What's wrong with my eyes?
I have to describe this. So she wakes up this morning and she's in the bathroom and we're in the hotel and the door opens and I look inside and I'm like, oh my God. Your eyes are so red. Have you ever seen Meathead before? And he's like, Meathead? No. Well, anyway, Meathead was a movie, it was like a knockoff of like E.T. And this alien shows up in camp and he's got these big, bright, bubbly, like googly eyes. And I showed him a picture. Was like, yep, that's me.
There it is.
Mind you, she's like going at me already. We hadn't even gone to coffee yet. So I was still pissed at her.
Yeah, she was.
And she was like, girl, you look like hell. I'm like...
No, the first thing I told her when she woke up is like, anything that happened or was said yesterday, I'm not holding against you
today.
And
then she hit me with a pillow, I think.
I did.
And I was like, I just opened my eyes. Why'd you hit me with a pillow? She's like, it's done.
That same morning, I remember, right, because I fell asleep. I was like, I'm going to bed. Fuck this. And so I went and I lay down. And Trish comes on the bed and she's like... I love you. And she gives me a kiss in the back of my neck. And then she lays next to me. And then all of a sudden she was like, I can't do this shit. And she gets off the bed because she's like, I'm not sleeping with this bitch. I'm still mad at her. And she goes and she sleeps on the floor.
Because Paul took my spot.
I know. That bitch wasn't even supposed to come back to the hotel.
I didn't get my Matoon cuddle time.
No, oh, you didn't. You missed out.
There was
I
so
love
much
to cuddle.
Fun.
And I was like really fucking drunk. See? And I had... almost put in because we had the fries with the gravy. So I was like, ready for bed.
That's that Chris hurt. For you. No, but you know, we had a fantastic time. So if you guys get a chance to check out this cruise, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do it.
Does anyone remember that the name of that last bar we went to?
The Cock.
Yeah.
That was called The Cock?
Yeah, The Cock.
That's like not very original. Well, they kind of like dropped the ball on naming the place.
When you
let's just go
think
right to
about
cock.
What goes on...
It was a little...
I'll never go back there again. No. Don't get me wrong. Nice bar.
We had fun.
If you want to go, have fun. But.
If that's what it's all about, absolutely. You know,
well, we weren't having sex or naked or anything. Like
speak for yourself.
I was not naked.
Tommy disappeared.
I was not naked.
I may have gotten my dick sucked.
Actually, I don't remember seeing you that much in there.
I'm not saying anything else.
No, that's a really good, I know. I kind of want to hear about this more.
Well, no, that was it.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Yeah. I just, here,
we'll finish it later. Yeah.
I could have gone home with like a bunch of men last night and I was just like oblivious and everybody would like be leaving. I'd be like, oh, I got to go, but here, take my number. And I'd put my name in their phone, whatever bar I was at, I'd be like,
oh my God, you did.
Nick Bussett, Flaming Saddle. Yeah. I would just say it and be like, text me, bye.
Yeah, Trish was actually talking to some nice hot chocolate last night. Oh. I was like, oh, she's about to go get her hole destroyed. But but
that bouncer at the rock bar.
Oh, wasn't he nice?
He was fucking awesome. He's like, girl.
Let me tell you, this tall, delicious black man, he was like 6'4". He's standing at the door of Rock Bar and he's looking at us like, yeah, he's got this fan and he claps the fan open.
It scared
me
every time.
He starts fanning me and I'm like, oh, I'm like in heaven right now. Like, I'd literally give you my ass and you could just do whatever you
want. Even when he ID'd me, it was funny.
Well, it's so funny because you go to so many bars and a lot of the bouncers are straight, even at gay bars. And so I'm walking up to this bar thinking he looked straight at first.
And then he spoke
and he was like, sorry, girl, I need your ID. And I was like, yes, queen. You can have anything you want, but I am not fucking with you.
It was. We had a good time. I have to say, we jumped through so many bars. Oh, I just said we went to Flaming Saddles. We went to another bar.
You guys made me love New York. Like, I can't stand New York. I never have a good time in New York, but you guys made me have a blast.
Well, that's because we all went together.
Exactly. I did have fun with Liz.
When we were on the cruise, at one point, I looked at him. I looked at Chris, and I was like, this is the gayest thing you've ever done. And he was like, there was just like gay everywhere. It was like the glitter wigs.
Other than sucking dick, that was like the gayest thing.
I'm gonna clap somebody real quick though.
Ooh.
Miss Selfie Queen.
Oh,
I will cut
bitch.
You. She was a beautiful girl, boy. Don't get me wrong.
Who was this?
And the Selfie Queen. Remember the one that had the danglers and like hashtag Selfie Queen?
He was a beautiful man and he was dancing all night. And he was walking by us. And all I said to him, I was like, hey, you're the selfie queen, and I haven't seen you take one selfie. And she was just like, you gotta pay for it. And I was like, what?
I pay for shit, bitch.
I didn't ask you for a picture. I said, you need to take a goddamn selfie.
Yeah.
Hello.
We took way more selfies than that, bitch.
Hello. We did. We took a lot. We did.
Don't brand yourself if you can't follow through.
Exactly. It's like opening a kissing booth and not willing to kiss anybody.
Yeah, right?
But expecting that fucking quarter. Fuck you.
Don't look like that. Quarter for a kissing booth. When did they move down to a quarter? Was this 1920?
Well, I'm still referencing the scene, Trish, from Greece, you know. I never saw Greece.
I also never saw West Side Story.
Give me your gay card back. That's right now.
You guys took that from me like...
The day we met you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that's when my parents knew I was gay because when I was sick, there were two things I would do. I'd watch Beaches because my mom had it on tape. VHS. And my dad had a record of Grease and I would put it on and I would listen to it and I'd sing and I would just lay on the couch. My parents were surprised when I came out. Beaches and Grease, please.
You're like the gayest person I've ever met.
Thanks.
I'll take that as a compliment for her. Seriously.
I fucking love you guys. We don't even have a chair over there.
I can't. Well, no, you know, we're normally we have a chair over here because Paul's here. But like I said, you know, she's out for the count today. So we wish her well. I hope she gets better.
You're lying.
Wherever she is. I hope she gets run over by a truck. But she'll
be fine. Floating in the Hudson.
She's in the Hudson right now. Yeah, she's on her little canoe. She's probably by Schenectady somewhere now at this point.
Just a little white girl from Schenectady.
Yeah, she's coming up the Newburgh Bridge. Jessica,
she's rowing now.
Somewhere. But we had a great time. So, you know, thank you guys. It was an amazing weekend.
It really was.
Missed my babies throughout the whole week, and I kept telling Trish, I'm touching her leg. I miss my babies, my doggies, my little Oliver and Fitz.
He said that at one point, and somebody was like, babies? And I was like, his dogs.
Yeah pretty much.
Those Jan are my babies. Got children.
Like, you left your babies at home? Yeah, no, they're dogs.
I cracked the windows. It's okay.
So, listen, we got some dish that we have to catch up on. Okay.
Ellen.
There was some huge, like, craziness going on surrounding an issue with something that she had done. They had superimposed a picture of Ellen riding on the back of Usain Bolt, which is the magnificent, fastest running man on earth. He's from Jamaica, from the Jamaican team, in the Olympics. And so
Jamaica me crazy.
She superimposed herself on his back, which was basically meant to be just a joke. You know, Ellen is a comedian. That's who she is. Well, apparently that didn't sit well with a couple of people who started, you know, posting on online about, you know, certain individuals who used to be slaves that, you know, their masters used to ride them on their back or put their children and say, you know, you got to carry me here, carry me there. And they were making references to what that signified, but really, I don't think that was the intention.
It was definitely not the intention. Let me just say, and everybody, all of our listeners know that I'm obsessed with Ellen. She is amazing and I love her, but how dare you throw Ellen under the bus? Clearly, it was a joke. That's what she does. And how much good has that woman done for everybody? All she does is give, 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 and love, love, love. And somebody's going to throw her under the bus? Fuck you.
It happens. It happens.
I don't give a shit.
Listen, everything that we do, even on this show, there's always someone or something that disagrees with what we said or what we say. And you know what? Unfortunately, if you don't like it, you don't have to tune in. We appreciate every single listener that we have. And we always thank everyone for giving us the opportunity to have your ear. But if you hear something that you don't like, you don't have to listen.
We're going
to
touch heated subjects.
We do.
That's what we
talk
do.
About
and we argue all the time.
Every
we always
day.
Argue. We disagree on things, especially this one.
Well, well.
There were like a couple weeks where this one was ready to fucking burn me.
We were in a taxi going to our last stop, going home. And I was like, Tommy, just take my car. Just, no, you're not paying for this. Take my cash. Like,
we were just arguing with the taxi driver. Card, cash, card, cash. And he looks at me and goes like, shit, I'll take the cash, man. Yeah, I don't have to report this shit.
I'm like, I don't care. One of you two just pay for my ride as I'm sleeping in your armpit.
He's like literally in my
armpit. I took a nap, but I went back out. We went to a diner and we had some food, remember?
Yeah.
And then we went back and drank more. So I took a little dozer, but I was good. And I was like, duh.
So, you know, going back to Ellen, I just think, you know what?
Sidetracked.
I just think I didn't see anything wrong with what she was doing. I think it was something that was meant to be funny. And as with everything, someone always finds something that means something else other than what was her intention. So, you know, it is what it is. We can't change that. So get over it.
Yeah, I mean, like, but honestly, it was just Ellen being Ellen and being a joke. I mean, she puts herself in Rihanna videos. She puts herself in all these videos and nobody says anything. And the moment that she does something like this during the Olympics, like clearly it's the time to make a joke like this. And it's just like, come on.
And
like everybody, sad. You're entitled to your opinion, but
absolutely. Absolutely.
Just like, you know, when we do, leave her alone.
When we do this next segment that we're doing, which is Angels and Assholes, you know, we literally sit there and call senators assholes. That is our opinion.
Well-deserved titles for them.
Well, in our opinion, they're well-deserved titles. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and talk about the our angels and assholes and get that. And then, you know, we'll do what we need to do. So anyway, this particular episode, we would like to, I'll let Trish do the assholes first.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Okay, so the following senator from Indiana, Dan Coats, a Republican, voted no on common sense gun reform. And for that inaction, we label him
an asshole. You are our episode asshole. And our angel for this particular episode, ladies and gentlemen, none other than Angel Candelario Padro. He was 28 years old. Angel was born in Puerto Rico. He was from Guanica. And he recently had moved to Orlando from Chicago to start a new life with friends and people in Orlando. And unfortunately, one fateful night, he visited a nightclub that got gunned down, and he is no longer with us. So we would like to dedicate this episode to Angel Candelario Padro.
Our angel.
Our angel. May you rest in peace. We're going to take a quick break. We'll leave you with Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, and we'll see you when we get back.
Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Once again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. But everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with
my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that's inside of us? It's inside our blood. It's inside of us. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
And welcome back. That was our break. And, you know, as we were saying before, there's lots to cover. So we're going to continue on with the dish as we always do. Ryan Lochte.
Latte.
Oh, Mr. Latte. Oh, well, he's in deep shit now of talking about lattes. Brazilian police officials said that the American swimmer, Ryan Lochte, we're going to call him Latte, fabricated the story about him being robbed at gunpoint in Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro. I got my second life back.
What's the capital of Philadelphia?
I thought Philadelphia was the state. I'm kidding.
The state of Philadelphia.
Well, no. Him and three other swimmers allegedly got held up at gunpoint at a gas station in Rio de Janeiro. And unfortunately, they had cameras. And his description of the events quite weren't what really happened on camera.
That bitch got pulled off a plane.
He was back in the States.
He was already
back
in the States.
Two other were pulled off the plane, and one had agreed to stay back and talk to authorities. He had made it back to the States, and two more were taken off a plane leaving Brazil.
And
thank you for the education.
Yes,
I'm here
queen.
For.
So, you know, he's in deep shit right now, and he's in such in deep shit that, you know, because here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby. When you are an athlete competing in an Olympic event at the Olympics, which is one of the top-notch events for any athlete, and you go representing a country, you do not go to a country and behave like a spoiled little brat from one of the best countries on earth because you make us look bad. And unfortunately, this little stunt that he pulled is making us look like all we're sending to the Olympics are little spoiled brats that think that they deserve the world and that no repercussions for their actions, that their actions have no consequences.
Recourse, right. And, you know, Tommy said something to me last night about it, and he was like, I really think they should take back his medals.
Every single one that he earned in this Olympics? Absolutely.
And I agree with you, because that would be the appropriate recourse, but there is something about the fact he did earn those medals. And it's like when you crown Miss America, right? Mm-hmm. And she does something, and then the second place person gets Miss America. No one wants the gold they didn't deserve. So yes, we should take his gold back, right?
But that's why they're called runner-ups, because
right.
Should the original or the person who actually won is unable to actually perform in the capacity that she is required to, then the next one steps up. That's not the case at the Olympics. Obviously, you earn that gold, it's yours. But when you go as a decorated Olympian, as an Olympian, period, you have to be
sounded someone. Like he's a decorated Olympian.
Yeah. You know, coming from a decorated Olympian.
Well, himself. He is, but coming it's a different from a decorated
fag. No.
Or that.
You have to make sure that, you know, you carry yourself and you represent your country to the utmost of standards.
That I agree
and
with.
He did not do that.
No, he did
and not. And quite frankly, I think that a lesson needs to be served, because here's what pisses me off. Poor little Gabby didn't put her hand over her heart when the Star Spangled Banner was playing, and she got crucified by the media, but they're just saying that these four kids, that's all there is, just kids doing kid stuff.
Yeah.
That's, you know, bullshit.
Well, there was, I watched an interview with another Olympian, and she was talking about how, you know, after they compete, they have some time where they can actually just enjoy themselves and enjoy where they are and party or whatever it is that they do. Mm-hmm. Sex, because clearly they give out like
the most condoms ever.
Ever.
Three a day.
But and so here's the thing, right?
Tally it up.
They have been training so hard for this moment. Yes, of course. Go out. Have fun. Get messed up. Do what you want to do after you've done what you need to do. But don't act like an asshole.
No.
I mean, we went out last night. We had fun. Maybe I was an asshole to Tommy. Maybe Tommy was an asshole to me. We still don't know. Brown out. But.
Knife.
We kept it classy the entire night. We had a good time. We had good conversations. And we met great people.
We did.
It was a good time.
But I'll give you an example of what pisses me off about Ryan Lochte.
Latte.
So we look at someone like Michael Phelps. Two DUIs, smoked pot, still the most decorated Olympian on earth. 23 gold medals, 28 medals total. But he had his DUIs here at home. He wasn't in a capacity of representing a nation at that point in time. He may have been working towards those goals, but he wasn't doing that. Now he goes to the Olympics, and he is the consummate professional. He conducts and behaves himself in a way that's worthy of those medals that you've earned. And he's not a little brat.
And he also, he, you
and
know.
And he's got the cutest baby.
But, you know, the best thing about him is he owned up to everything. Yeah, he took care of everything he needed to take care of. And he's honest and true. And that is the most important thing you can be.
And now you have somebody like Mr. Latte over here who goes to freaking whatever his name is on NBC. He's one of the
anchors.
Thank you. my words are failing me. Struggle bus.
And that's called.
And he literally starts lying out of his teeth, and then says, "My words were taken out of
context."
Okay, Trump.
I will fucking cut you.
You know, it's so funny because if any of you ever heard him speak, he can't. So I went to a bar on Saturday. I'm out with some of my coworkers from the seafood restaurant I work at, and they have, they're reading his apology, and it's all written out and everything. I'm looking at him like, bitch did not write that shit. Her manager did. He can't use words longer than four letters.
No,
not happening. So get it together. If you're going to represent the United States, you got to be the United States. Get it together.
I mean,
don't act like
we
a
have
child.
A transgendered athlete right now at the Rio Olympics. And
well, the Olympics are over now, but
absolutely amazing. Very like well composed.
Nike endorsed.
Did what needed to be done. Nothing more, nothing less. At this point, Mr. Latte has now lost an endorsement from Speedo.
I love the fact that we call him Latte just because I can't say his last name.
Latte, Latte.
Latte, Latte, you know. So, yeah.
Extra foam.
He just literally speedo announces that it's ending its sponsorship of Ryan Latte.
Sorry, Felicia.
Sorry. Bye.
I will say one of those commercials for the Olympics for the U.S.
made me cry.
Team. Well, there are great commercials, but the one that where they're showing different Olympians and, like, they look up and he's like, black, Hispanic, Muslim, small. Like, they're saying the different Olympians. I was really surprised that they didn't have a gay or the transgender one.
I don't think we're there yet.
We're getting there.
I love the fact that the International Olympic Committee really takes an initiative to be very inclusive. That's pretty much ingrained in their charter. But you also have to think about the fact that, you know, they have other countries that are participating in the Olympics that don't hold those same views when it comes to the LGBT community.
That's fine, but this is not in a commercial for the Olympiad all around. This was a commercial for the U.S. Olympic
team. Then that's something that the United States Olympic Committee needs to reevaluate. Because at this point, if we are a nation that needs to progress and show the rest of the world where we stand, the West, yeah, the West of the world.
Well, the West of the world, but, you know, you're right.
That actually did work, the West of the world, because that did work too.
We've already been shown by how many other countries?
Many times over.
If you ever look at FIFA or UEFA, the soccer, it always says their slogans are either hashtag respect, or then the next year was hashtag no racism. Like, they're always fighting for true equality.
But no matter what country does it first, you still have nations that look up to the U.S. And I think that at this point, the U.S. needs to hurry up and catch the fuck up.
Or people are going to start looking down.
Or people are going to start looking down on our nation, and we don't want that. We want to be a nation of, you know, of exclusivity, inclusivity. We want to be a nation that promotes love and respect for others and for nations and for religions. That's why we are who we are, and we can't lose sight of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, not to switch topics, but it's like Trump. He's running his campaign on
God
hate.
Damn Trump.
Her.
And then you got Hillary, and she's running her campaign on love. It. You know what? Those are the two most base human instincts, hate and love, right? Mm-hmm. Those are what cause everything.
And she's in P-Town right now.
Well, she was. She looked good, too.
Cher looked amazing.
Oh, she got a good surgery.
Yeah, one of my friends posted a picture on Facebook of Cher. Girl looks, I need that plastic surgeon's number. I'm sorry.
How old is Cher?
Cher is 60, right? Listen, when the Holocaust comes, two things are going to be left.
What?
When the Holocaust finally comes, two things are going to be left.
The Holocaust?
It already happened.
Tom,
When it comes again.
No, listen. You're thinking of Armageddon or something?
No, Armageddon, Holocaust, nuclear bombs, when all that shit happens Armageddon. Again.
Yeah, no more Holocaust.
There's
going to
be two things left, cockroaches and Cher.
I saw where you were going with that.
I knew what he was saying.
Because when he said Holocaust, I'm like, nie wieder. Like, never again. That ain't happening again. I was like, Armageddon, yeah.
I was getting somewhere. And I don't mean to offend anyone that's either gone through it or, you know, I'm just saying that
at
I was
the end
making
of time,
a joke
cockroaches and
that no matter what
it.
Happens, Cher will always be there.
So, can we talk about something?
What about the Trump thing you were going to say?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get there.
Okay, all right. So, what are we talking about, Trish?
All right, well, we're talking about Trump.
Oh.
But we're going to start out with a story from last night.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, but I, you know, she was an amazing performer, but I do not know your name. This drag performer got on stage, started singing. And I literally, we were all in line for food and I just ran away from everybody. And I was just like, yes, queening. And she's up there and I'm going to screw up the song, but Chris is going to try to help me. But she's up there and she's like, you're a mean one, Mr. Trump.
Yeah, but
your hands are small, your hair.
You're a racist and a bigotry, something, I don't know, something about that, Mr. Trump. You, sir, are the definition of bigotry, racism, and all suppression that can happen. And don't fuck with the Latinos.
Because when you fuck with the Latinos, you fuck with my butthole.
And I lost it. Okay, the song was much better than what we just portrayed. We were horrible.
We were better outside on our break.
We were. We tried to get it together on our break, but oh my God.
I was put on the spot. I was scared you
I
were
was
looking at
dying.
Me.
Dying. I was so happy that she sang that. And
I have
so,
sweaty palms now.
And so on a ride back, I was like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to say anything about Trump today and like...
I was like, hell with that. That was funny.
I need to say something about him every week because this is my platform, and I'm going to stand up here on my soapbox and be like, cunt, you ain't got it. Get out. Bye.
As we're all driving by the Trump Towers.
Oh, we're like, flicking them off.
Fuck you, Trump.
Fuck you, Trump.
Fuck you, Trump.
So there's like 9 buildings lined up one past the other, and we're going down the West Side Highway, and we're flicking, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
It's on our Snapchat story.
And for it is indeed. And for someone who's so like against like socialism and communism kind of thing, like he's always against, like, you know, that was a big thing with the Bernie thing. Oh, that is like definition fucking socialism. Every building looked exactly the same. Yep. Like it's like a fucking condo complex.
It's like a monument to an egotistical maniac. I'm sorry.
With a big old belly.
Oh, and can we talk about her. The statue that yeah. someone put?
Well, hold on. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So Donald Trump, can we talk about the fact that another one of his campaign managers was like, yep. bye.
The third one.
The yep. third one. So now he's on his fourth.
But you know why they let this one go though, right?
I don't forget why.
I'll tell you. Because
tell me.
This
and
man,
then I'll bitch about it.
This man, although he's American, he worked with Ukraine. Well, he actually worked with
his wife is Ukrainian.
Yes, but he moved there and he was working with an affiliate of Russia who managed to get yes. into office in Ukraine. So obviously he had the Russian agenda and he was working with Russia to ensure that, you know, we can get movement so that they can start taking some of this territory back. That's how Crimea ended up getting annexed Russia. To Russia because of the work of this man. And then all of a sudden now he's being hired by Donald Trump.
How very Trump of him.
How very
Trump
of him.
Of course, because he's got business ties around the world and, you know, he's looking out for his money. Well, I'm not knocking him,
Putin.
But wrong. And then this guy now comes over here and he's trying to run Trump's campaign. All the shit starts coming out of all the money that's invested over there and everything that he did. And now he's like, oh shit, you know, this is not going to be good for me. We need to let this guy go.
Right. But, you know, it's like, you know, campaign managers, they come and they go. Running a campaign is not an easy job. It's
never
a very, very hard job because you're trying to brand somebody. You're mm-hmm. trying to brand somebody and sell somebody. And that's like
the
hardest
highest position in the world.
Yeah.
Looking now.
But has there ever in the history of any campaign ever been 3 people fired and now we have a 4th person to run somebody's campaign?
That I don't know.
And let's,
I don't
know. That's fucked up.
Were they all fired though? Didn't some leave?
Some
left or fired.
One or two left. Yeah. Well, for something like that,
there's
you probably
something
have to ask.
Wrong there, people. There is, if all these people cannot brand this man,
it's because he's losing by crazy numbers
and he doesn't
but
give
that's
a
not
shit.
It too it's the fact that he doesn't know how to treat his workforce. This is not a man that is accustomed to taking orders from anyone, obviously, or doing things someone else's way. He wants to do it his way. It's Trump of the highway.
And
unfortunately, do you want someone running America that has that ideology?
And for our listeners, I mean, you guys know that we're in New Haven. We are in Connecticut. And for those Trump supporters out there, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But look at how Trump spoke of Connecticut, basically saying, you know, if I don't win Connecticut, I totally Bernie Sanders my hands right there.
Sure you saw that?
I was waiting for Hillary to come out and defend me.
I was like, totally Bernie hands right now. He's basically saying, if I don't win Connecticut, I'll never forgive you. Like,
fuck you.
How do you
fuck
talk him. To? Yeah. Well, you know what? You're not
you
going to win. So we don't want your fucking. Exactly.
You don't know my life.
You don't
like
know
Paul
me.
Says.
She ain't here.
Paulina. She's dead for the count. So anyway, yeah. So that's my whole thing behind Trump. But the statue thing, girl.
Oh, that's so ugly.
So the statue thing. So what they called it, the emperor has no balls. It wasn't the theme of these statues that were then placed in cities across America. Mind you that this has been a commissioned project that's been going on. It's not just like random. They've been planning this out. But anyway, so of course they had to take the statues down and whatnot because you can't just like put a statue place. But so Mayor de Blasio in New York goes, that is a frightening thought. When he is wearing clothes, I don't like him.
That's what he said.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was just he's like, diplomatically, he's like, we had to take him down. But at the same time, he was like, but Trump, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
what I mean? And that's what I loved about it.
He had to put his, you know, he was being like, professional, but he's like, but really.
But really, I would have left it up.
Yeah. I know, but I had to do my job.
Oh, but honestly, seeing those made me kind of
I you know, they were disgusting. I didn't want to ever see that ever again because Trump.
Well, the funny thing is the one that they put in New York, right? New York's Department of Transportation or Sanitation, excuse me. They come in and they bring this truck next to the town. They just throw it in and you see people just coming over the truck and just smacking the ass. I was like,
it looked like dried up Play-Doh. That's what he looks like.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Oh, God.
I was like, and then that little penis, the micro penis was just like there with like skin hovering over. It looked like buggly eyes
what
coming
do you call
out of you.
Meat curtains.
That's basically what it was.
It was disgusting.
So to all our listeners, please know that if this ever happens, our emperor will have no balls.
Never.
Much.
Ever.
And you know what? I would rather Hillary with no balls.
She's
a rock star.
Well, what did Betty White say? Something about balls.
Betty White.
Fuck. Yeah, she said a vagina. Oh, shit. I forgot the quote where she's like, a vagina can take a beating. Balls are sensitive or something like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Well,
I forget the quote.
One of you
listeners out there, I'm sure you guys know it. You know where I'm going with this. Before the vodka keeps kicking in, though. Meanwhile,
in Canada.
Because there's some words that I got to pronounce here. We're going to talk about our PM, Mr. Justin Trudeau. I learned something new about him.
He's my boo-boo.
Yes.
We love you, Mr. Justin Trudeau. Obviously, we knew Ronald Reagan was an actor. I did not know this.
You didn't know that Ronald Reagan was
an actor? No. I knew Ronald. I'm saying I knew Ronald Reagan was an actor, but Justin Trudeau, I did not know this.
Oh, you didn't know he was an actor?
In 2007, in the 2007 miniseries, The Great War, which I probably need to watch because I love war shit, Justin portrayed Talbot Mercier Pepineau, a soldier and one of Canada's first Rhodes Scholars who was killed in the battle of, this is the word I was worried, the Battle of Passchendaele. The same month he appeared on TV as Papineau, Justin won the nomination for the Quebec Riding of Papineau. So Justin Trudeau was an actor before he got where he was.
Or at least he took part.
I don't know. Well, there was French in there, so it's like the combination of what is going on with these lights? Are they getting?
I don't know what's happening.
All right, so yeah, Justin. At the end of the day, it's the sun. I'm not used to doing podcasts with this much sun.
I know, right? Because normally we love you, Justin. We usually record an hour. Actually, we usually start like 10 minutes from now. It is now 5:53.
Well,
PM
we planned
in the
for 10
east.
Minutes from now,
and so we decided. You know what? We're here. We're early. Let's do it. Let's get it going and blah whatnot. So we did it,
and we love you, Justin Trudeau,
in Canada.
Absolutely. We do. We love the Canadian stores only because, if Donald gets elected, you know where we're going, right?
Cape Breton, they taking us on. I'm first in line, though.
I'm going to Toronto. I don't know about you.
I am first in line. I don't care where the fuck you go. You can go to Saskatchewan.
Oh, no, I'm going to Toronto.
My future husband can take me wherever he wants to go.
Exactly.
You're talking about me?
I am.
I was like, wait a minute, who's that?
We were in the grocery store.
This is so much fun.
And we were trying. So Chris is gonna cook us all kielbasa later, which I'm really excited about. He's gonna, what is it, a Swiss dinner?
Yeah, tell us what's
Polish.
Tell us what's
Polish dinner. Hold on. Let me finish my story, and then you can tell us what our dinner is. But so we're in the store, and I looked at him, and I was like, he was doing something. I was like, oh, there she is. There's my future husband. He's like, well, if this doesn't work out with my current boyfriend, then yeah. I'm like, I'm your fucking backup plan. Bitch, I'll kill you. Yeah.
Then she runs to the car. She opens the door. And the first thing she says to me is like, I am never coming shopping with this bitch again.
I'm the worst to go shopping with. I am.
He's so bad. But we had a good time. Anyway, so tell me about your kielbasa.
Yes. I want to taste it.
Yeah, we're going to have a little Polish dinner. We're going to have some kielbasa, some kapusta, kapusta sauerkraut, rotkohl, red cabbage.
Or an American sauerkraut.
Well, rotkohl is red cabbage. Sauerkraut is the kapusta.
Whatever that is.
That's the Polish side of it.
Uh-huh.
And pierogies.
Yes.
Con cebollas.
Con cebolla. Yeah, okay, with onions. I understood
that. There we go.
All I have to say is pita.
Pita. When we were in the store last night buying beer for the first time, I was buying beer apparently. We're like arguing over something, and he just looks at me. He's like, pita.
All I can say.
I'm mad at you right now. You're so cute.
Pita. All I can say in Polish is ja nazywam się Tomek. That's it. My name is Tommy. That's all I learned.
Tommy Bushi.
You want a bushy?
Dame bushy.
I'll give you a bush.
Dame bushy.
I got a bush in between.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had a bush in between my legs. So, no.
Jakuya.
And so, it's funny because I just saw this, but there's a movie, Sully the movie. Tom Hanks is actually playing Captain Sully. If you guys don't remember, Captain Sully actually was one of the was the captain that actually landed a plane that was going down that got hit by
geese
into the engine.
They call it like flugge. It's a weird word for it. I forget it.
And he ended up landing the plane in the Hudson River.
Belly down.
And I remember that. Every single passenger survived. So the movie's going to be coming out soon, and I'm super excited because I want to go see it. I love Tom Hanks.
He looks like Anderson Cooper's dad. My God, with that white hair, she could get it.
Yeah, I think I think he did a really good job. They did a really good job casting. I'm excited. I can't wait to see
it. It looks good. Tom Hanks is great.
Yeah, and I saw the billboard when we were down in New York. I was like, oh, look, it's Tom Hanks.
Speaking of great things that are coming up.
Yes.
So there's going to be an AIDS memorial in New York.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So for the 2016 World's AIDS Day, which is on December 1st, they're going to mark AIDS memorial in New York City. And it's going to be at St. Martin's Hospital. Is that correct?
Yes.
Vincent Hospital.
St.
Vincent Hospital. And so that's where it's going to be. And that's basically the only place at the time when the AIDS crisis was going on that would take in these patients and take care of them. And basically, it's basically what keep them...
One of the few facilities that actually stepped up to the plate and helped our...
Our
brothers
community.
And sisters in that fight.
This is early big. On,
so a lot of gay women were the nurses that were taking, where doctors wouldn't go near them. Gay nurses would, they would
it was
not,
amazing.
Yeah, AIDS. They would not stand back, even though we didn't know anything about AIDS at that point. People were afraid to confront an AIDS victim. These female nurses, gay or straight, were just, no, we need to take care of our own.
Well, I mean, if you really look at it, back in 1980, 1981.
They had no idea.
They had no idea what it was.
We knew
so
nothing.
People were terrified. If you see movies, like I was telling Nick, and I tell my cast members here, and I say to them, watch And the Band Played On. It's a movie that's on HBO currently, and it's a wonderful movie because it really highlights what happened early on in the early days and how the CDC and everyone was really going nuts trying to figure out, what do we do? How do we get a handle on the situation? This is coming out of nowhere because when you look at it, HIV/AIDS came out of left field, nowhere.
Well, and it ravaged people.
Yeah, it spread like wildfire.
Yeah. I mean,
and so, it was wonderful to have AIDS Project New Haven on our previous episode.
Yeah, that was really great.
Because
very informative.
They brought a lot of information that's really important for today's youth
for
and
our community,
for people
in
today's world. And it was just amazing to see, though. It really is.
It's like, we had Stonewall that was, marked as a national monument and whatnot. But this is, to me, I love that that happened. But to me, this is so big. This is so big. Like, our country is finally acknowledging what they ignored for so long, and so many people died because of that ignorance.
So you're acknowledging the victims and commemorating those who fought to
those lives,
to stop it, to fight for it.
And what we've done moving forward. I mean, we've come so far, and it's just, it means so much to me, and I'm sure it means so much to the rest of the cast here, but... Thank you so much.
And we need to keep it going. We need to keep it going.
We need to keep the memory of those that we've lost to this horrible, horrible, pandemic.
Yeah.
Keep their memories alive because it's been very, 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 very tough. And, we will try to the best we can make sure that we bring to the forefront of our work and what we do here at Gay Talk 2.0 and make sure that we are very inclusive with everyone.
We like to be
everyone
fun. We like to be funny. We like to joke. We like to
be
dirty,
real.
But we like to be informative and be real. Exactly. That's what it is. That's why we're
when
here.
When I was coming out as a kid, I think my parents, I had a hard time, but one of my parents' biggest concerns was they were like, oh my God, my son's going to get AIDS and die now.
And quite frankly, that was the thought of many parents.
At the time, I completely get that.
They used to associate AIDS with gay men and women. And if you really take...
Especially men.
If you look at what it was called prior to becoming HIV...
Gay cancer.
They called it GRID.
Yeah.
because they associate
Ronald Reagan. Horrible with that.
Yeah, well, the Reagan administration really dropped the ball. So, I mean, that's all I got to say. And I'm just happy that, you know, nowadays we have groups like APNH and people who work with them and our allies who help us in our endeavor to make sure that people have the information that they need.
And there are people out there living with HIV and AIDS and living a full and healthy, happy life. And those advocates are beautiful and important to our community.
Right. Absolutely. So, and help fight the stigma. And
medical advances, like PrEP and things like that. Like Paul Anthony, he takes his birth control religiously.
She's here.
It's really not her birth control, but we call it her birth control as a joke.
When we were getting ready last night, I went into her bag, took out her bottle, took out a little blue pill, put it on her phone. I was like, don't forget to take your pill before we go. I was like, putting out your treat.
I'm really just putting out there, she didn't get any last night.
Oh. That's okay.
But, nasty.
Chris, you threw her under the bus. Wait.
Oh, God. Chris is learning too much from us.
Yeah. I know.
Use a bunch of catty bitches rubbing off on me.
Yes. So, you know, what I really appreciate about, you know, Paul's dedication to taking the medication is to ensuring that, you know, if he is going to have sex, that he's doing it in a very, very mature and positive way, because he's taking steps to protect himself and any partners that he may have. Mm-hmm. So we greatly appreciate the fact that he does that.
Yep.
And speaking of allies, you know, we want to thank our friends, the Idiots.
Yes,
they were featured at, they had a time slot at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival, which hopefully at some point, you know, if we get big, we'll make it and go down.
We need reviews.
And we love the fact that, you know, they take the time to really appreciate what we do, and we appreciate what they do. And they had a great, great, great show. We can't wait to hear it. And they're actually recording their show as we speak today or tonight. And they'll be releasing their episode. Usually they do it by tomorrow.
So their episode's live. And then it's
on Wildfire Radio.
And then it's released a couple hours after. Yeah. But I think they're releasing two.
They're releasing two different episodes this week, I believe.
The festival and then today's
episode. But if you want to catch the live version of the show, it is available on wildfireradio.com under the Idiots Radio. And the show starts at 6:30. So you got half hour if you're on the East Coast to catch the Idiots, which I highly recommend that you do. These guys are
it's
amazing.
A great time.
We love them.
Great time.
One of our biggest supporters, and we thank them for their continued support.
Yeah. You know, and I think once we finish our show here today,
we might call in.
I'm like, we're definitely
going to happen, I'm sure.
Yeah,
Chris is going to be cooking his big kibasi for us, and
you
might
guys
want to
taste
in
my kibasa
and chim in. So, you know, we want to thank our listeners again for tuning in and staying with us. We hope Paul recovers and gets well. We have our live show coming up next Monday, on the 29th, at 168 York Street Cafe.
I work there.
In New Haven, Connecticut. We want to thank, as always, the Idiots Radio for just, you know, being amazing allies in our community. And I want to thank my co-host for always being amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want any information on what we do on our show, you can visit our website, www.gaytalk20.com. If you have to, if you want to send us a little note, you can do so in two different ways. You can visit our website under the Contact Us page, which is right there on the link on the top of the page, and write us a little note, send it over to us, or you can
email us. And now that we're getting our emails,
that's a real good point.
You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
So obviously we are available on...
We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Snapchat, we're on Facebook. We're everywhere.
We're pretty much everywhere.
If you want to learn more about us individually, you can always go back to our website, gaytalk20.com, and you can go to the cast, and you can get our little bios, see, you know, who we are, learn a little bit about us.
We also have links for all those of you who are, you know, who find any particular one of us sexy. We have our personal links to our Facebooks. You can send us a friend's request or send us messages. We'll be more than happy to correspond with you that way as well.
Yavol.
And we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your commitment to the show, just like we have a commitment to you as our listeners.
And we love it.
And please keep in mind that, like, if you are interested in us sexually or you may want to date us, I do require a lot, and it's 2 carats or more.
Oh, she's a fucking mess. Yes.
Yeah, you definitely want to be careful with Trish. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for tuning in. We have a blast doing this. It's always great. Is there anything else that you guys like to share?
Who's going to be Paul today?
I just want to say one thing.
Yes.
So, the one last thing about the cruise that we went on yesterday.
Uh-huh.
we were all we were like there probably at 45 minutes and somebody comes up. We're all standing around talking and some little woman comes up to me and Chris. She's like, so how long have you two been together?
Not long at all, evidently.
And we both looked at each other. We were just like,
that's called frustration. So that little woman, thank you so much for noticing that these two have some sexual, unresolved sexual tensions going on.
Gross.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're pretty.
Thank you. Have a great evening, everyone. And that is our show. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more Dish.